I hope you had a great Christmas and a happy New Year's. And I pray your 2026 is off to an amazing start and that you're looking forward to all that God has in store for the year ahead. But you know, before we get too far down the road in this year, I want to take a few moments at the kind of the top of the message this morning to kind of look back and reflect on all that God did in our midst in 2025. You know, our word for the year of last year was the word more, inspired by Ephesians 3:20. And we had been praying all year that God would do immeasurably more than we could even ask or imagine. And you know, near the end of last year, I had a friend stop and he asked me, and he said, "Have you been keeping track of all the stories of more that God has accomplished this past year?" And that simple question has caused me to kind of pause and think back on the more that God has accomplished in our midst in 2025. So just briefly, I want to start by looking back on last year with gratitude in our hearts and highlighting a few of those more moments. So let's, if we kind of put this in kind of timeline version, if we go back to the month of January. So in January of 2025, we helped resource the launch of Southside Fellowship Church with Pastor Caleb Hickson in Fort Worth, Texas. They've had a great year. They're off to a strong start. And that makes them, and they were number 8 of the churches that we have planted domestically, with 9, 10, and 11 on the docket for this year. And one of the things that brings me great joy is seeing Northwood's people connect with our church plants. You know, recently I had a friend who texted me just to kind of wish me a happy new year. And he texted me a picture that captures this so well. So I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. You might not know these people, but let's start on the right. Okay, on the right is his name is Ryan. And Ryan and his family attended this church for several years. And last year, they relocated, Ryan and his family relocated to Fort Worth, Texas. And today, they are attending and serving in Fort Worth Bible Church, which is the church that we helped to plant in Fort Worth. And then on Ryan's left is his son, Jace, who was recently baptized at Kingdom Culture Church in Phoenix, which we also helped plant. There in the middle is Pastor Eric. He is the pastor of Kingdom Culture out in Phoenix. And then on the left, you see Connor and Asha. Connor and Asha have been attenders of Northwoods. Connor grew up in this church. Connor's worked at this church, but today they live in Phoenix and they are attending and serving at Kingdom Culture in Phoenix. So I love just seeing the connection. So cool to see people from Northwoods connecting with some of the churches that we have had the privilege of helping to resource and plant. Then in March, we held our live album recording for our very first Northwoods worship album, a new song. Then 2 weeks later, in the lead up to our 35th anniversary, we held our Night of Global Impact, where together on one night, we raised $666,000 for global church planting, helping to resource around 180 church plants. That happened in one night. For the year, we planted 357 churches around the world. That's our highest one-year total since we started church planting in 2017. It's great. And we are now at 1,857 churches planted around the world in 73 different countries. And our vision, yeah, you can clap for that. Our vision, remember, is to plant 3,000 churches around the world by 2030. And we're well on our way to seeing that happen by the end of 2030. Then if we move forward to July, we hosted our very first Vacation Bible School. This was a big undertaking for us. This was the first time we had done this. We had 400 plus children attend from around the community, and 123 children made first time decisions for Jesus Christ. Come on, you can clap again. You're gonna get a lot of clapping in this morning. It's amazing to see what God's been doing. Then in August, we helped Pastor Nathan begin the process of planting a church in Boise, Idaho. And I know many of you continue to ask and wonder how they're doing out in Boise. They're doing great. They're They're really getting close. Their baby was actually due a week ago. That baby hasn't arrived yet. So anytime now, they'll be having kind of their own story of more, seeing their first child enter into the world. But we'll be giving you more updates as they get closer to launching their church this fall. And then in August, we had Lake Baptism Sunday, where on one Sunday, we baptized 197 people who chose to take their next step in their relationship with Jesus Christ and get baptized. September, we had another unplanned, spontaneous baptism. 33 more people stepped forward and were baptized on the spot. It might have been one of my favorite services of the year. It was a super powerful service. October, we released the live album we recorded in March, featuring 10 songs that really capture the story that God is writing through this church. And that was really a dream that had been 20 years in the making for us as a church. And so that was super cool to see that happen in October. And then in November, our 25-month Now Is the Time campaign was launched. And together to date, we have committed $12.8 million. And we are beginning to move forward with revamping our children's ministry space this month. We'll continue to give you updates about that here soon. And then in December, we hosted 11 Christmas productions. And we had over 28,000 people attend. $23,283 was collected and given to local Christian organizations in the Peoria area, and 1,725 people made first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. North, as we can say with confidence, God did immeasurably more. Thank you, Lord. He did immeasurably more. And so what I want to do is just start, let's just take a moment to join our hearts together in prayer and just thank God for all he did through this church this past year. So let's just thank him. So Lord, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, Lord, now we are expectant for what you're gonna do in this year, but we don't wanna go any further without taking time to just stop and thank you, Lord, for all that you did in 2025. Lord, we pray so many times that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And Lord, we have seen that happen in this church. I thank you for all the stories of more that happened last year. More people getting saved, more people getting baptized, more churches being planted. Just so many stories, Lord. And so we know that apart from you and your work in our midst, none of that probably happens. And so Lord, we just thank you. And we stand in this new year with grateful hearts for all you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to kick off a new 4-week series titled Everyday Relationship, which will carry us through the month of January and really serve as our theme for the 21 days of prayer and fasting that start tomorrow. Now I'll touch on that a little bit later in the message, but I have one hope and one prayer for each of us during this series and during this time of prayer and fasting. And it's this, that we would not be content to settle for just a Sunday relationship with Jesus, but that our heart would be one of pursuing an everyday relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, some of us only know Jesus on Sunday, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus is just as good, if not better, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want, our heart is for each of us to experience Jesus in our everyday, like every day of our life, not just Sunday. In fact, this is what the earliest followers of Jesus modeled for us. Look at what the book of Acts says about them. Acts 2:46 through 47 says this right at the beginning. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is where they go to worship. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want you to understand, the Lord added the number daily. Two places it says every day and daily. Their relationship with Jesus was an everyday thing. And if we look at their lives, we find that there was a rhythm that carried and sustained and fueled their relationship with Jesus. And so as we stand at the beginning of 2026, I want to help you, help each of us kind of develop a rhythm in your life that will do the same for you. And this is super important because developing a rhythm is foundational to every other area of your life. For example, I want you to think about it this way. So the band was just up here. It just played, led us in worship. And even though I'm not a musician, I have learned from those who are that in any band, the drum beat is the steady driving force that keeps the entire band unified. So the drummer sets kind of the rhythmic foundation for the song. So listen, if the drummer gets off beat, it can disrupt everyone else in the band. And the result is a sound that's out of sync, confused, and chaotic. And so I want you to think about that because in the same way, when we have a rhythm in place in our life, it acts as that steady beat that carries and supports everything else in our life, starting it with our relationship with Jesus Christ. So listen, if you're here today and your life feels out of sync, confused, or chaotic, it could be because you have been knocked off your rhythm. And so today I want to preach to you a message that I've just titled Getting Back in Rhythm. And so today we're going to look at God's word to help us instill a rhythm that sustains and fuels an everyday relationship with Jesus Christ. So just a minute ago, we looked at Acts 2, 46 through 47. But if we back up a few verses to verse 42, we find that these very first Christ followers gave themselves to four key areas that really made up what we would call their rhythm. Why don't you look at what Acts 2:42 says? Acts 2:42 says, and they devoted themselves to. Now, if you're reading in your own Bible, I kind of went there quick, so you're probably not there yet in your own Bible. If you want to follow along, that's where we're going to be. But it says they devoted themselves to. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. We'll talk about the four key areas they were devoted to. But let's first understand what it means to be devoted. Okay, pretty kind of self-explanatory, but just so we're all on the same page. Common phrase you'll hear sometimes, that I've heard sometimes you'll hear people say is, he's a devoted father and husband. He's a devoted husband and father. What do we mean when we say that? It means that that man is strongly committed to his wife and his family. So to be devoted to something means you're committed to it. You care deeply about it. Your life is dedicated. You've dedicated yourself to it. So I want you to understand, when the passage says they devoted themselves to, it means these very first Christ followers, their lives were strongly committed and dedicated to what follows. And here's what follows. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were strongly committed to four key areas that really made up the rhythm of their lives. And while each of these four areas have a corporate aspect to them, meaning these are things that we do as the church gathered, they also have an individual aspect, and that's what we're going to touch on. Now, I'm going to hit each of these areas this morning from kind of a 30,000-foot level. But in conjunction with this series in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we are releasing a 21-day video devotional through the Bible app called Everyday Relationship. And in that devotional, each week, we will go deeper into one of these key areas. And I'll share more about that in a few moments. So let's talk about the first key area that should make up this rhythm. Key area number one is scripture. It's scripture. Here we're talking about the daily intake of God's word. Now, there might be some who say, really, like we talk about this all the time, reading God's word, listening to it, whatever it might be. Like, do we really have to talk about this again? And I want to just remind you, you never graduate past God's word. Like, you never get to a place where in your maturity where you have moved beyond this. This is fundamental to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it reminds me, I remember probably when I was back in high school, I'm trying to think when this would have been, but Anyways, Tiger is when Tiger Woods is at the top of his golf game. Okay, so let's say probably might have been 20 years ago now when he's in his 30s. He's at the top of his golf game. He's the best in the world. And I remember there was a time when he went through a little bit of a slump. And during this slump, there was someone who went and did an interview with him, and they were asking him what he was going and working on to kind of get out of the slump. And I remember just as a younger person, his answer was, he said, "I've just gone back and I'm working on the basics, fundamentals." And I remember thinking, like, really? Like, you're the best in the world. Like, you're working on basics? Like, I thought you'd be out here working on like the most, you know, advanced shots you could think of, and you're working on basics and fundamentals? And the answer is yes, because no matter who you are, everything builds upon fundamentals. You will never graduate past this. And so we will always talk about the importance of reading, listening to, studying, whatever it might be, God's word. And I have a friend who likes to say that maturity is the consistent application of elementary principles. Maturity is the consistent application of elementary principles. It's the consistent application of the fundamentals. And God's word is fundamental to our relationship with him. Look back at the passage. It says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. This here refers to the instruction the apostles would have laid out, primarily from the Old Testament scriptures. Now, we have the benefit of the New Testament, which is additional teaching from the apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So from a corporate standpoint, this is why we teach the Word of God every Sunday when we gather. Like, that's not gonna change. We will always teach God's Word in some way, shape, or form. But from a personal standpoint, the Word of God is meant to be flowing into our lives daily. So here's just kind of a question to be asking yourself as we begin another year. Does the rhythm of my life include consuming God's word on a daily basis? Does my rhythm include consuming God's word on a daily basis? Now, I suspect that many of us know our lives should include listening to or reading or studying God's word, but I believe we often bypass it because we don't always see the immediate effect of it. But just for a moment, I want you to consider the list of things we do that might not have an immediate effect, but are in our best interest. I read one author who recently shared this list. He said, started with his own list. He said, waking up early, immediate effect, hating life and everyone in it for the first hour. Long-term benefit, feeling like you've completed a day's work before you've had breakfast. Exercise, immediate effect, sweating like a pig and questioning your life choices. Long-term benefit, increased energy, elevated mood, longer life. Saving money, immediate effect, saying goodbye to your social life and hello to ramen noodles. Long-term benefit, being able to take care of yourself and give to others. Home maintenance, immediate effect, spending your day off trying not to cuss while Googling what does water damage smell like. Long-term benefit, living in a house is nice to come home to. The point is there's many things we do that may not always seem like they have an immediate effect, but we know they have a long-term benefit. And I can say with confidence, because I have made a commitment to reading God's word in my life, that his word gives me strength, fills me with hope, helps me walk in victory, provides me with direction, fuels my faith, and ultimately helps me know Jesus better. And I know many of you probably have a similar story, and I believe it will do the same for you if you will make it a part of your rhythm. And this is where a daily Bible reading plan can really help. You know, Bible reading plans are great tools for giving you a daily dose of God's word and helping you read all of God's word, not just the parts you might gravitate towards. And there's a reason for every word written in the book. So I want to just encourage you, as we start 2026, to get started on a daily Bible reading plan. There's tons of them out there. The one-year Bible reading plan, the New Testament Bible reading plan. Some even have podcasts such as the Bible Recap or through the Word app. Pick a plan and stick with it. And let this be the year where the word of God becomes a key part of your rhythm. In fact, you know, if you just want to go like give extra effort in this for the next 21 days, I want to invite you to join me. Sometimes I hesitate to share this because if you're just getting started, it might feel like a lot. And I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but one of the things I love to do every year during the fast is I read through the entire New Testament. And so if you want to just get like, man, I want to just dive into God's word for the next 21 days, pick a New Testament reading plan. You can do it in about 30 to 45 minutes a day. So kind of my rhythm during the fast is I'll step away from lunch. And I always say fasting is for feasting. And so it's feasting on God's word. And so I'll just encourage you. One thing you might want to join me is step away from lunch and just spend time reading God's word. And I tell you, you do that for 21 days, you'll go through the entire New Testament like that. It's a great way to just make this a part of your daily rhythm and kind of kickstart your Bible reading for the year. So that's the first key area is scripture. Here's key area number two, community. Community. So if we look back at our main passage, we find the earliest Christians didn't walk out their faith in isolation. Their lives were interconnected. Look back at what it says. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Fellowship. That's community. It's fellowship. It's fellows in a ship together, right? It's connection. I love how the Message paraphrase states this. It says they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And I like how it says the life together. Fellowship is simply life together. And this is what God designed us for. Now, some might ask, okay, well, what do other people have to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ? Like, aren't we talking about an everyday relationship with Jesus? You didn't say everyday relationship with other people. Yes, we are talking about an everyday relationship with Jesus. But I want you to understand, you can't separate your relationship with Jesus and other people. Because relationship with other believers are a part of our relationship with Jesus. In fact, it's through others that God often meets our needs. It's through others that he supplies what we need. You know, this week I sat down and wrote a short list of the things that God brings to our lives through relationships with other people. So I'm gonna give you just a list of 10 on the screen. Here's the first, comfort. You can look these up later if you want to. Comfort. He brings support to our lives through others. Book of James says he brings healing. Confess your sins to one another so that you might be healed. He brings encouragement through others. Growth, truth, wisdom, belonging, restoration, protection. Now I could keep going, but that's just kind of a list to get you started. That's 10. Let me ask you, do you need any of those in your life? Of course you do. And all I want to point out is that we often think that if we're going to experience those things in this life, it's going to be God who does it. And while that's true, the part we often leave out is that God often does those things through other people in our lives. See, it's a misunderstanding to think that God's going to supply all of our needs apart from his people. So being in community, whether it's gathering together on Sunday, sharing a meal with another family, praying together, gathering with your small group, sitting and listening to someone struggle, or being mentored and discipled, community is how we journey and walk out our everyday relationship with Jesus Christ. So another question to consider, who are your traveling companions? Who are you walking with in community? Again, 21-day fast is a great way to start incorporating this into your rhythm. So maybe you start by getting together weekly with a group or a close friend and just begin to share, hey, here's what I'm leaning into during this fast. Here's what I'm praying and fasting for over these next 21 days. Have someone you share this with, and then over the next 21 days, check in and see how things are going. So we're talking about key areas that help us develop a rhythm that feeds and sustains our relationship with Jesus. So we've talked about scripture, community. Now let's talk about key area number three, which is prayer. prayer. This was another area for the very first Christ followers that defined their rhythm. It was their prayer life. In fact, if you look through the pages of Scripture, you'll find that this was often the most important business of their life, was prayer. Look back at the passage again. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which we'll come back to, and to prayer. Prayer. You know, recently, the Lord has been teaching me a lot about prayer through my 2-year-old son, Luke. And I've never really counted how many times he says dad in a day, but in this season that we're in, it feels like it's nonstop at times. And so I've just kind of documented, here are some of the things I've just heard consistently just over the last couple days. Okay? Dad, I'm hungry, I want a snack. Dad, come look at the house I built. Dad, I need to go pee. Dad, let's play dinosaurs, which to him means getting on the floor and getting on all fours and smashing our heads together, which, okay. Dad, can I watch a show? Dad, I want a smoothie. Dad, I want a peanut butter, honey, and jelly sandwich, whatever that is. Dad, turn on the tractor song. Dad, let's go outside and mow the lawn. He got a toy lawnmower for Christmas, so he constantly wants to go outside. I'm like, dude, it's cold. Mow the carpet. Dad, my legs hurt. Carry me. Dad, chase me. Dad, it's too dark upstairs. Turn the light on. Dad, let's play puppies, which consists of me crawling around on all fours while he tells me what to do. Dad, come downstairs with me. Dad, help me get my shoes on. Dad, I'm telling you, it is nonstop. And sometimes it wears on me. Sometimes I'm pretending I do not hear this dude, but he'll just keep going. Dad. And so at this stage, this dude, he brings anything and everything. And you know, that's a picture of what it's supposed to be like with us and God. You know, he invites us to bring everything to him. Meaning he is a perfect father, and unlike me, it doesn't wear him out or annoy him. He wants to hear the details of our lives, the blessings we've experienced, the anxiety we're carrying, the challenges we're facing. You can talk to him. I love how one author put it when he wrote about prayer. He said, God is looking for relationship, not well-prepared speeches spoken from perfect motives. When it comes to prayer, God isn't creating essays. He's talking to children. So whatever is going on in our lives, I think we could all take a page from a 2-year-old's book and remember that we can bring anything and everything to God. Listen, prayer isn't just for mealtimes. It isn't just for quiet times or church times. It is for all times. So when you wake up, pray and thank God for the day ahead. When you're walking out the door for the day, pray. When you're driving to your next appointment, pray. When your kids bring you their struggles and you're not sure the best way to help, pray. When you experience the post-holiday letdown and now it's January and it's dreary and it's gray, pray and ask God to fill you with joy. When you're jumping into bed for the night, pray and thank God for bringing you through another day. And as we do, here's what happens. Not only does God hear and answer, but it keeps us tethered to our relationship with Jesus Christ. You're staying in constant contact with him. This is a part of our daily rhythm that carries and sustains everything else in our life. And again, one way to begin building this into your rhythm, say it again, is to engage in these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, if you're new to Northridge, you might ask, why do we do this? Well, one pastor put it this way, and it's always stuck with me, because prayer connects us to God, and fasting disconnects us from the world. And you will be amazed at the clarity God brings to your life when you combine these two practices. Now, some may be new to fasting, so let me just give you a few different ways you can go about this. For some of you, this will be review, but for some, again, you might be new, so let's just walk through this real quick, okay? Some might do a complete fast over the next 21 days or some part of the days. Complete fast is where you are abstaining from food and drinking only water and 100% juice. And I would just say, if you're going to do that, if you have any medical condition or on medication that would make it difficult or dangerous to go without food for any extended period of time, do not try this without speaking to your doctor. And or if you're a minor, make sure you talk to your parents about this. Okay, then there's a selective fast. This is seeking certain foods to cut out for 21 days. Most common is what you'll hear often referred to as a Daniel fast, which means cutting meats, sweets, and bread. So basically you're eating fruits and veggies, you're drinking water. Then there's a partial fast. This is where you eat the things you normally eat, but maybe you skip a certain meal. Maybe it's breakfast, or you don't do lunch or dinner, or it's a certain time of the day when you don't eat. And no, it doesn't count when you're sleeping. You can't just say, hey, I'm fasting when I sleep, okay? Then there's a soul fast. And while the first three are related to food, this is about eliminating the things that are feeding, like the things of this world that we're feeding our soul with, which might not always be the best for us. So here you might eliminate secular music or movies or TV or delete social media and all the apps off your phone. So here we're clearing out the things that distract and drown out the voice of God in our lives. So you might pick one of those. You might do a blend or a mixture of those throughout the 21 days. So you can find more fasting resources at northwoods.church/everyday. So you'll have more about what I just shared there. And that'll take you to also to the place where the devotionals are. So here's the deal. There's no hard and fast rules for what you decide to do. The key is make it meaningful between you and God. Emphasis, between you and God. And a lot of times when we fast, I've just found it's really easy to look at the person next to us and start comparing, and we go, oh man, well, they're doing more than I am. So man, I need to suffer more. I need to cut out more. Listen, that's making it between you and them. This is between you and the Lord. And understand, we don't fast and pray for God's approval. We do it from his approval. We don't do this so that God will love us more, but because God already loves us and we just want to go deeper in our relationship with him. Now, like I said, to go along with this time, the team and I created a video devotional that works through the Bible app. So you just search Everyday Relationship, or there's a QR code coming up. You can scan that QR code. That will take you right to the 21-day devotional that we've put together. And over the next 3 weeks, each day there's a short devotion that expands upon the series that we're in. And each day we close with some reflection and action and some prayer time. Great way to start your day. And in doing so, you're establishing a rhythm. It'll be foundational to your life with Jesus. Now, let's talk about one last key area we see in this passage. It's key area number 4, and that's communion. Communion. It's coming around the Lord's table and partaking of the bread and the cup. Now, the passage we've been looking at doesn't say communion, but it implies it. Look back one more time at what it says. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Now, we use that phrase today like, hey, let's break bread. And a lot of times when we say that, we're talking about having a meal together. And most scholars would agree that breaking bread here could refer to a broader meal that they would have shared together. But most agree this also would have included taking communion together. This was a part of their rhythm. It doesn't tell us how frequently they did this, but it was a part of their rhythm that made up kind of that sustained their everyday relationship with Jesus. So this is something Jesus told us to do as his followers and to do regularly in remembrance of him. And you know, one of the things that happens when we partake is that we are nourished and fed spiritually. I want you to look at what Jesus said in the book of John. He said, for my flesh, let me put it on the screen, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Now, Jesus wasn't telling people to literally eat his flesh and his blood, but he likens his flesh and blood to food and drink. And just as food and drink sustain and nourish us, there's a sense in which when we partake of the bread and the cup, there is sustenance and nourishment that comes to our lives and our bodies spiritually. And so as we enter into these 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're going to begin by gathering around the table and remembering what Christ has done for us, but also asking God to sustain us and nourish us, not only today, but through these next 21 days as we pursue our relationship with him on a deeper level. So if you have your elements, you can grab those now. Now, before we take them, I want to read one more passage of, you can grab this, but I want to read one more passage of scripture. Normally when we take communion, you'll always hear me share the passage out of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul shares what was given to him. And this is where he said, you know, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When they'd given thanks, he broke it, said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. It's the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." I share that every time when we take communion. But after that, there's a really, and we've shared some of this before, we've talked through some of this before, but there's really interesting passage that I just want to bring to your attention. And I think the guys have it. I asked them to put this up during worship. He goes on to say, "So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." And we often do that. We say, let's examine ourselves before the Lord. But then it goes on to say, "For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment." Now, I remember reading that. I can still remember hearing my youth pastor read that when I was in middle school. And like the fear of God came over my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get struck dead if there's sin in my life right now. I was like afraid to take communion. But what I think is being said there, there might've been a sense in which there was a judgment that happened in that moment. But what I think is being said there is that the reason that some of them were weak and sick and a number had fallen asleep is simply because they failed to recognize what was available to them as they came to the table and partook of the bread and the cup. See, when we come to the table, we not only remember what Christ has done, but we are receiving. He's nourishing us. We're receiving everything he accomplished for us through the cross. That's forgiveness, healing, freedom, deliverance, peace, joy. It's a time when we come and receive. And so as we approach the table today, let's come again, remembering what Christ has done, but with a heart that says, "Lord, I come and I receive." In fact, let's just join our hearts together and let's just pray this together right now. You just say, "Lord, as I approach the table this morning, I thank you for what you accomplished on the cross. And I receive everything you intended to come to my life through what you accomplished on the cross for me." It's in that spirit we come. So we'll start, but let's take the bread. And again, he said that when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Then it says, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's partake. Now, church, if you would, I want to invite you to stand. Let's pray together as we close. So, Lord, as we stand on the beginning of another new year, Lord, I pray if in 2025, life just knocked us out of rhythm, Lord, I pray today would be the day that we get back in a rhythm that's foundational to sustaining our relationship with you. Not just on Sunday, but every day, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that even today and through this fast, that you would increase, Lord, our hunger for you. That you would increase our hunger to experience and encounter and do life with you, not just on Sunday, but every day, Lord. I thank you that you invite us into that type of relationship. And so, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do over these next 21 days and in the year ahead. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing would rest on every person here today. I pray your sustaining power, Lord, as we step into these 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I pray that many people across this room, Lord, would see victory and breakthrough in many areas of their lives as they lean into you in a deeper way over these next 21 days. We thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise, and it's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, give him praise, church. He's good. He's good. Church, I love you. It's been so good to be back together today. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, we'll have the prayer team down front. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's big or small, you come on down. We'd love to pray with you. Have a great Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you back next week.